Good morning and welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited that you're with us. It is hour number two officially here. That would be Thursday, March 29th, 2007, midnight here on the nose in the Central Time Zone. Thomas, I don't know what I'm hearing. Sounds like a commercial. Go ahead and take care of that, please. Thank you. All right. So technical difficulties aside, welcome to the program. Welcome to all of you listening on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And maybe you're listening on our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. If you do, you'll see a list of guests, and including our guest here this evening. He has been doing research on the New World Order and all the different particular elements that comprise it for about 40 years now. He's written some of the greatest books out there, including The Unseen Hand, including The New World Order, including Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. His most recent offering into the literary world is this fantastic book entitled Jesse James, United States Senator. You can go to the website, senatorjessejames.com. Let's please welcome the author of the book, great friend of me, a great friend of the show, Ralph Epperson. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you very much. Frank, the whole, I don't understand, Frank. How come it's Thursday morning where you are, but Wednesday night where I am? Would you explain that to me, please? I don't understand that.
It's one of those mysteries of the universe.
It's the way it is, though? Is that
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, that's
know.
What they tell me.
I don't understand that, Frank. And secondly, how can it be March 29th when it's only the 28th, Frank?
I don't know. I mean, look, I was raised in public education. I was taught not to ask any questions, so...
And that's one of those imponderables that we cannot answer, and so there's no answer.
It certainly is, my friend. You know, before we get started in the subject matter, of course, that we're here to talk about, I wanted to ask you about this. You know, it's my assessment that a lot of things going on in the financial sector are basically sort of a tip of the wings, a signal to the powers that be that they're gonna pull something off here. And we've seen, the markets taking huge fluctuations, and I anticipate some big things going on with Iran. I think it's very, very interesting, and of course, gold hit $666 today on fears of supply disruption from Iran and oil and all that jazz. And that reminded me of a story in the Unseen Hand about some manipulations that I think it was the Rothschilds had done of the stock market in order to basically buy England.
Yes.
Can you tell that story quickly?
Yes. I think it was the War of 1812. I don't quite understand this, but apparently the Rothschild family had the ability with some sort of pouch to go across borders, even though those nations were at war.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if they'd come to the border, they didn't need a passport, or they could get past with if they had this pouch.
It's like a backstage pass.
Yes, exactly. apparently, from what I understand... Wellington beat Napoleon in the last battle of the War of 18, whatever, well, I guess it was called the War of 1812. We had a War of 1812 in America, but I think it was that war. Anyway, Wellington won, and Rothschild, since he had access to that information from couriers that represented him, he got news before the rest of the world did.
Mm-hmm.
And he took it to the London stock market and announced that that Wellington had lost. And according to the story, the speculators all decided, my goodness, things are bad. I got to get rid of my bonds. And they sold cheaply on the market. And, of course, Rothschild bought them all up at a reduced price. And then a little while later, the official word came in that Wellington had won, and there was Rothschild sitting in the corner counting his money.
Amazing.
And that's the story as to how... the Rothschilds bought the English government back in the war, whatever that war was called, the War of 1812, when Napoleon was defeated and Wellington won. But that's the best, that's as briefly as I can make it, but
that's
apparently that's
perfect.
True.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's exactly sort of confirms a lot of things I think a lot of people have suspected, and that is that, you know, the New World Order, the powers that be, Ralph, they have a playbook, and they pull from it all the time, using the same tricks, because these things never stop working.
Well, I would say this, Frank. The crash of 1929 was planned at least in 1907, and we'll talk about that with the story of Jesse James. But I don't think they could pull it off now, and the reason was because very few people understood the market and understood the Federal Reserve System and how they could do that. and there were only a few isolated, criers, meaning the people trying to warn the people. Very few, but I think that's all changed now.
Yeah.
Most people know that the private reserve is private. Most people know that what money is. They know that gold has a value. You just quoted the gold price. I don't think the price back then anyone cared except a few people that might have owned gold.
Yeah.
So I don't think they can pull off an economic collapse, at least as severe as the one of 1929, because if they did, they couldn't get away with it. The American people know now, and enough of them know, not everybody, but enough of them know. So I don't anticipate that ever being a prospect, that they're going to pull off a total economic collapse like they did in 2020.
I don't know. We didn't have a credit card system back then that 99% of the people were relying upon either.
Well, they could change it. I understand. They could suddenly decide to call in all the credit card debt. And if they did that, and I don't know if they've got the power to do that. They had the power to do that during the crash of 29.
Mm.
So if they did that, there are a lot of people are living on borrowed money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much the average credit card debt is, but I've heard figures of $30,000, $40,000, $50,000.
That sounds about right.
So I don't have any except the temporary stuff. When I travel, I charge things.
Sure.
And then as soon as I get the bill, I pay it. I don't want to pay interest on that money.
Yeah.
So I've got a little bit, but I could pay that off and I'd be solvent. But that might be the only way they could do it. They certainly could not do it the way they did it in 1929.
Mm. Wow. Well, amazing, and I appreciate the history lesson, of course. Coming from you, I'd expect nothing less. Brilliance from our good friend Ralph Epperson. So, Ralph, we should start out with this. A lot of people would say, okay, so Ralph Epperson wrote about the unseen hand, about the conspiratorial side of history. He wrote about the Masons. He wrote about the New World Order. How in the heck does Jesse James, just a guy who robbed a couple of banks, he's a legend to his neighbors, but nobody else really cared about him, and obviously I don't think this, but they would say, Ralph, how does this tie in with anything?
He's a microcosm of the entire conspiracy.
Amen.
And the thing about it is that if we could get the American people to read this story, because everybody knows, I wouldn't say everybody, but most everybody knows who Jesse James was.
Yeah, they've at least heard the name or seen one of these movies. I mean, many movies have been made about him.
Oh, Brad Pitt's making one right now. I believe the last word I got was that the movie's been made and he test marketed it and apparently it was too bloody. So
The
last word I got in some magazine was that he was revising it or re-editing it or whatever, taking some of the blood out of it.
Maybe. And I know he stopped returning your calls in, like, the early 90s, right?
Yes, he wouldn't call me. I've been trying to reach him. In fact, if anyone knows Brad Pitt, after you hear tonight's story, get in touch with him and have him call me. We need to talk. If he wants to make a blockbuster movie, I guarantee you, you put this story into a movie, it's going to sweep this nation. Because when you hear how Jesse James was a major player in our past, and not just an outlaw that got killed in 1882, it is a plot for a major movie, and I think it could be a blockbuster. But Brad Pitt's already got the movie made, and he might not be willing to revise
it. It's not his call anyway. He's just the talent. He's not the money behind it. He's not the producer. I mean, I have an in with him, and I could give you the information, but it's not going to do you any good.
Well, okay.
If you want it, I'll pass it along. But
you know how to reach Brad Pitt?
He's from Missouri. I mean, it's 40 minutes from here. So yeah.
Well, afterwards, let's talk then. I'd be willing to, talk to him about it, because even if he doesn't make the movie, maybe you should make it make a second one and tell the truth. Jesse James too. What are we up to, Rambo number 46 now? Is that isn't that what it is, Rambo 46 now?
I think it's right at 46. You're right.
Yeah. So that would be one way to do it, because I'm telling you this story. This story is a microcosm, and I'm using Jesse to explain much of what we just talked about right now, the crash of 29 and the crash of 1907 and the war, the American Revolution, the War of 1812, and the Civil War. They're all connected, and we'll explain that. And once I use Jesse as a way to explain that, because Jesse was involved in the same thing, but years later.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He's a major player in our past.
Yeah, it's so phenomenally integrated, Ralph. I mean, truly, this is just a work of genius. I mean, and I don't say that just because you're here. I'd say it even if you weren't. Because I think that what this book seeks, you know, is able to do, maybe that other books are not, is open the doorway to people to reading about the New World Order and all these secret societies and these conspiracies without necessarily picking up a book that they think is going to have all that stuff contained.
Correct.
You know?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping people will do, would be saying, I want to know more about this story. And when they do, they're going to learn a great deal about their past. And they'll expose, Jesse will expose to them a conspiracy, because Jesse was right smack dab in the middle of it. He was a major player, and you'll learn that as we talk tonight. He was a major player in our past, Jesse James.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Well, let's start out with the man himself.
Well, if I may, before we do that, we got to do this, Frank, if I may.
Yeah.
Let's start here. Let's start with a little understanding of central banks, because once you understand central banks, then Jesse James will make sense.
Okay.
Let's start by defining the word inflation. Inflation, by any dictionary worth its salt, says that it's an increase in the money supply causing prices to rise. And I'll tell you why prices rise. And I used to use this example in my classes when I taught at a community college. Let's just say that Frank Whalen hires an airplane and flies over the city of Tucson at midnight and pushes out millions of dollars worth of new money, regular Federal Reserve notes, and you push it out over the city. What's going to happen the next morning?
Frank's going to go to jail for obviously robbing a bank, because I don't have millions of dollars. But other than that, I imagine that the value of the dollar would be less because there's more of it.
That's correct. And you would go out, people would go out tomorrow morning and start buying things, mm-hmm. and the prices would go up.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a huge demand, some of the guys said, wait a minute, I can sell these chickens, but at twice the price, three times the price. Mm-hmm. And then when they start to get the chickens start to get scarce, then they start really raising the price. I've got a lot of money. I'll pay you, instead of, you know, dollar, say $5 for a chicken, I'll give you a 15 or 20 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. Then the next morning you do it again. What's going to happen if you kept doing this after many months, many mornings? I'm telling you, prices would really skyrocket.
Yeah.
So now that is the cause of inflation. It's been the cause of inflation for 6,000 years. But no, we have to have cost pull and demand push and unions and housewives and the common housefly and everything else causes inflation. Now, a deflation is when you decrease the money supply, causing prices to go down, which means once you get control of the money supply, you can cause business cycles. And so the goal was to get control of the money supply. Well, the Constitution says Congress shall have the power to coin money. Notice, to coin money, not print it, coin money, and regulate the value thereof. Well, in 1913, they gave that power away. They created a thing, a monstrosity, called the private reserve. It's called a federal by those who don't understand, but it's actually a private reserve. It's owned by a bunch of private bankers. Now, why? So let's go back now. We'll start with the American Revolution, because once we understand a little basic American history, then we'll put Jesse in the middle of it. Let's go back to the American Revolution. We separated from King George, and one of the major reasons was we wanted to get control of our own money. And there was a big debate after we had the war, which was, by the way, was intended to be very time-consuming and very costly. Both nations in the American Revolution supplied Masons as their admirals and generals. And Masons take vows not to kill their brothers. So that was a very time-consuming and slow process, because mm-hmm. you couldn't blow up the headquarters because the Mason generals were over there. So you had to fight the war without it. And so the war was very time-consuming, and, of course, they got involved with the winter and the story of Washington's troops all marching with no shoes on and everything. There's no money and everything else. So anyway, after the war was over, there was a big debate between Jefferson and Hamilton as to whether or not we should create a central bank. And the central bank was going to be privately owned. Hamilton advocated in favor. Jefferson was opposed. And Hamilton said, listen, we need to create a privately owned bank that would have the power to print paper money and loan it to the government at interest. And Jefferson said a banking establishment is more dangerous to a nation than a standing army. He understood. But unfortunately, Hamilton won. And so we created the first bank of the United States in 1791, a couple of years after the first government was created in, 1789, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And Washington was convinced by Hamilton we needed to create this privately owned bank. Well, they, as a compromise between those who said bank and those who said no bank, they decided to create it for only 20 years. So it's going to expire in 1791 plus 20 is 1811. So when Monroe was president, he refused to renew the charter. So the Bank of the United States lapsed, and that was the end of it. Well, it wasn't the end of it. The European bankers decided we needed a second war. So the very next year, 1812, there was a war between the United States and England. Guess who? The bankers. Mm-hmm. Said, listen, guys, you didn't get the lesson. Didn't you see? Didn't you figure it out? We want a central bank. Now, give us a central bank. Well, we're not going to. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you a war. So the war was we were told, was fought over the issue of the English was conscripting American sailors off of boats or ships or something around in the ocean, and that was the reason for the war. So we got upset and said, okay, we'll go to war. And that war lasted until around 1816. So now they got another problem. The Constitution has very little taxing power. So how are you going to pay for it, America? I know what the answer was. Create a central bank. So once again, we created a second central bank from 1816 plus 20 for 1836. So once again, that was intended to pay off the debts created by the War of 1812. Now, Andrew Jackson ran in 1832. This is very, very simplified, but unfortunately very correct. So 1832, Jackson runs on a very simple platform, bank and no Jackson, or Jackson and no bank. In other words, if you want the renewal of the charter, you vote for my opponent. If you want me to kill it, I'll kill it. Well, Jackson was walking around the White House, and apparently some guy by the name of Richard Lawrence stepped out with two pistols and fired both of them at Jackson, and he wasn't killed. Now, you could argue... let me finish. There's one more part before I say that about arguing. The intended assassin, reported that he was in touch with the European bankers and that they were the ones who wanted Jackson dead. Wow. And, of course, people laughed and said, that's impossible. He was, once again, it's always a lone fanatic like Lee Harvey Oswald and all the others. So they claim his two pistols misfired. Now, that's, I'm sure it's possible, but very strange. So apparently they didn't want him dead, or they just wanted to threaten him. I don't know. But anyway, Lawrence was arrested, and I don't know what happened to him.
Wow.
So Jackson then was reelected in the election of 1832 by the overwhelming majority, the largest up to that time ever given to a president. So Jackson then said, I'll kill the bank. In 1836, the second bank expired. So I know what we need to do. Now, here's the next problem. We got to get America into the position of creating a full-time, forever central bank. So they said, now how are we going to do this? Well, let's go fight another war. Well, he said, wait a minute. We got a 3,000-mile ocean between England and France and the United States. How are we going to do that? And America was building a navy. So we said, what are we going to do? Well, maybe what we can do is get a bunch of countries in Europe together. And they said the odds are just impossible because America's got a navy, and how are you going to, if they start, blowing up our ships, how are we going to get our goods into the port, and we're going to lose quickly? So they said, I know what we'll do. Let's get a country in America, meaning south or in South America. So let's get either the Mexicans or the Canadians to fight. Well, they weren't big enough. So the decision was made, I know what we'll do, let's divide the United States into half. And therefore we'll have another war, Americans fighting Americans. So they used the issue of slavery, which was a festering idea, and especially with John Brown and the Montrose Raiders and everyone else running around killing people who were in favor of or whatever it was in slavery. So it was a festering issue. And so the European bankers created a group called the Knights of the Golden Circle. And they were created in 1837. Remember, the bank expired in 1836. Mm-hmm. So it took them a little while to get it organized. And they funded a bunch of people coming here to go around America and start a movement to secede, to get the South to secede using slavery. Now, slavery was the reason for the war, but not the purpose. The purpose was to get America into the position of needing a central bank.
Mm-hmm.
So now the next step was they needed to have a war. So they got the South to secede. 11 states seceded. And in 1861, the South was attacked Fort Sumter in the port of Charleston, South Carolina. Now, it's interesting that the war started in Charleston, South Carolina, on an attack at Fort Sumter, because Charleston, South Carolina was the site of the first 33rd degree Masonic Lodge in 1801. So 60 years later, we got a war starting in Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston, South Carolina is underneath the 33rd degree northern latitude, which is why they placed it there. They formed their first chapter. Now, so interestingly enough, the war started in Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm going to contend by at least some of the people involved were Masons, and they knew that's why they started the war in that city.
It's amazing stuff. Folks, stay with us. We have to take a short break. We'll be back with more brilliance from our guest, Ralph Epperson. You can follow along by going to his website, www.SenatorJesseJames.com. Stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and so we've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Will, and our special guest this evening, Ralph Epperson, author of many books, including the one we're talking about this evening, Jesse James, United States Senator. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Thank you.
Okay, we're talking about
Civil War.
Civil War and the creation of a group called the Knights of the Golden Circle. But during the break, Frank, I noticed that I kind of missed, I glossed over something that might be important. Let me get back over it. Let's go back to the idea of how you can create business cycles. Like the crash, maybe I won't talk about specifically the crash of 1929, but we'll use that later.
Okay.
Anyway, what you want to do is get control, which means if you increase the money supply, you can cause prices to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to decrease the money supply, then you can cause prices to go down. And if you know when you're going to do these things, as we're going to discuss in the crash of 29, you can buy and sell and make enormous profits. Because if you know prices are going to go up, you buy when it's low.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know prices are going to go down, you sell when it's high. In fact, I wrote my first book, Frank, was probably my greatest one. It was called How to Make a Killing in the Stock Market.
And
you opened the book up and it says, buy low and sell high. That was it. That's the whole book.
The one-page book.
One page, Frank. Wasn't that a brilliant book?
A genius.
They someone stole it. They started printing it on napkins when you went into McDonald's. That was the end of my book.
Oh, wow.
But it was a brilliant book. Anyway, okay, now we're now up to 1837. So the plan was to get enough people angry enough over slavery to go to war so that we could then finance both sides of the war.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get the North, especially the North, since they wanted the North to win and create, recreate the Union, since they were like 23 states, I think, to the 11 that seceded. They had the power, and they expected them to win. So they wanted to make sure the North would create a central bank. So between 1837 and 1861, this Knights of the Golden Circle was growing, and at one time they had 14,000 members, according to the books that I read. And so they were apparently urging the South to secede,
mm-hmm.
and the North to get angry at the slavery issue, and to be willing to go and fight over the issue and to preserve the Union. So in 1861, I don't know, sometime early in the year, right after inauguration, the Masons plan. I don't think the Masons fired the first shot, but the Masons planned the location of the first battle in Charleston at Fort Sumter, and the war started. And right after that, or shortly thereafter, Lincoln had a visitor in the White House, several visitors, I'm sure, in the White House. And I'm going to make it very simple. I'm sure they said, I know, President Lincoln, we know she got this thing called a war. He said, sure do, boy, it's terrible. They got a South seceding, and they're out killing people, and we're fighting back. And he said, well, how are you going to pay for it, Lincoln? He said, I don't know. I don't have very much taxing power in the Constitution. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. He said, well, I know what we can do. We can loan you the money. We're the central bankers, and we'll loan you the money at 36% interest.
What a deal.
Yeah, that's not too shabby. That's twice what they charge on our credit cards. I guess I don't have...
Maybe your credit cards.
Is it gone? Wait, you're saying it's gone beyond 18%?
Oh, God, yeah. It's probably up around 28%.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I don't know that. Okay, well, anyway, 36% is quite a bundle.
Mm.
And Lincoln said, I don't like that idea. I'm going to find out another way. So Lincoln did. Lincoln issued the greenback dollar, which was just printed and not borrowed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the government, the private reserve, prints paper money, it prints it and then loans it to the government at interest. So Lincoln said, no way. I'm going to issue the money, just like you're going to do it, create it out of nothing. So he went to the Department of Treasury and said, start printing greenbacks. But there will be no commitment to redeem it in gold. I just want to issue them. And that's the money that Lincoln used to pay off the debts of the war, meaning they're going to buy uniforms and buy guns and weapons and food and, cannons and horses and everything else. He's going to use the greenback dollar to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't tax the American people. He just printed it.
Now, let me jump in here, Ralph, with a question. So are you saying that Lincoln was aware of the conspiracy?
Oh, yes. He wrote about the money power.
Okay.
He says, and this is done from memory, but it's pretty close. He said, the money power preys upon a nation in times of prosperity and something else about when it's in times of war. And so he knew it. He saw what had happened, what was happening. I don't know that he knew that they were the ones starting the war or that they controlled the Knightsville Circle, but he might have.
Wow. Well, let me interrupt you here for another commercial break, folks. Stay there on the edge of your seats. We're back in only 3 minutes with more from our guest, Ralph Epperson. Again, the book, Jesse James, United States Senator. The website, www.senatorjessejames.com. Stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinance, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. This hour, of course, being brought to you by our good friends down at Howard Creek Resort, featuring 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to all the fun things here in Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort, the perfect family vacation destination any time of the year, and certainly right now it's absolutely beautiful if you can deal with the pollen, but that seems to be a big problem everywhere. But it'll be going away soon. You can visit them on the web and see what you have in store for you at www.howardcreek.com, or you can call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. Get back to our guest here, Ralph Epperson, author of the books Jesse James, United States Senator. Welcome.
Once again, thank you very much, Frank. You're very
thank
kind.
You. Well, I try.
Okay. Okay, we're right at we started the Civil War. No, well,
yes.
We didn't start it, Frank. I know you might think I'm old enough to have been involved, Frank, but I wasn't. I wasn't old enough. I was a very young child in the Civil War days. So anyway, we start the war, and Lincoln gets a visit from the Rothschilds, or the, at least the bankers, saying, we'll loan you money at 36% interest, and Lincoln says, nope, I'm going to issue the money myself. By the way, that is a power that Congress has. They can decide any day they want to get the money out of the hands of the private bankers who own the private reserve and issue the money themselves, especially without interest. But
wow.
They seem to fail to do that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've got the power because the Constitution says Congress has the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof. Now, they might have to coin it. You could argue that this paper money is not coined, but they've got the power, and they've had the power until the creation of the private reserve in 1913. So if they want to take it over, they've got the power to stop it. In fact, I'm told, I've never read the law that created the private reserve, but I'm told that there's a power to buy it back for its assets. It would sure be a lot better than paying all this crummy interest on the debt.
Yeah.
Because the national debt is owned by, we don't know for sure, but we mostly believe that it was owned by the international bankers, including the private reserve and the member banks who own the private reserve. Now, if that's true, then we're paying interest to ourselves. We're not paying interest to ourselves. We're paying it to the private bankers.
Mm.
Now, we've been told that we owe the debt to ourselves, and the question is, I know I don't have any government bonds, Frank. That means, I think it's, what, 20-some thousand, 30,000. That means you've got my share, Frank. Why?
News to me.
Better check your safety deposit box, Frank. That's where you got it hidden, don't you? Maybe you forgot.
Anyway,
let's say that you don't have it, and it's 20,000. That's 40,000, and maybe your wife doesn't have it. That's 60,000. And so we can start talking about, well, wait a minute. We don't owe this to ourselves. We pay it to interest on bonds issued by the private reserve. Well, I don't have any government bonds, and who does? Well, someone else has got my share and got a majority of our shares. We don't owe it to ourselves. Anyway, okay, now Lincoln now has got a battle. He's got to decide what to do with the war, and he funds it on his own. Now, that was a fatal mistake because the Knights of the Golden Circle were the ones that killed Abraham Lincoln in 1865. Just after the war ended, I think it was a matter of days later. I'm not sure. I've forgotten now. It's in my book, but I've forgotten. So anyway, the Lincoln goes to a play, and he invites General Grant, Ulysses S. Grant, to go with him, and Grant agrees, and then suddenly decides not to go, and he is seen in a carriage with his wife fleeing the city. So I believe someone warned him something's going to happen. You better get out of here. So Grant got out of there and left. He invited Edwin P. Stanton, the Secretary of War, to go with him and show, you know, the people, this is the guy, we won the war, me and my buddy Stanton. And Stanton decides not to go. He's too busy. So he didn't go. And then he invites a couple of other people, I think, Vice President Seward, or not, Johnson. He didn't go. Secretary of State didn't go. He went by himself and with a major, I guess, and his wife. So they were four of them in a box up at the Ford Theater in Washington, D.C. So now there's a guard standing supposedly to guard the door into Lincoln's suite, and he just decides to go downstairs and drink at the neighborhood bar, and he leaves the door open, and John Wilkes Booth comes in and shoots President Lincoln. Now, as far as I know, that guard was never tried, never charged, and I wonder why. He left his post, and because he did, the president was assassinated. But he's never questioned, never charged. So I don't know. I don't know. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
He got no harm, no harm, no foul, I guess. So he didn't get. He might have been indirectly involved, maybe even directly involved. But anyway, he wasn't charged. Anyway, so Lincoln shot. John Wilkes Booth jumps to the stage, breaks his left, and I want to remind you, his left ankle. And drags it off the stage and shouts, "Sic semper tyrannis." Allegedly, that's what the witnesses said, and that means death to tyrants. And I believe the reason he did that was because John Wilkes Booth was also a member of the Masons, and Masons consider Christians to be tyrants.
Mm-hmm.
And Lincoln was, I don't know how much of a Christian he was, but there, it's reported that he was a Christian and a Bible, you know, Bible-believing man and a God-fearing man. So apparently Booth felt he was the tyrant, the tyranny, guilty of tyranny, and so he shot him. Anyway, mm-hmm. Now let's go back now. Let's start the story of Jesse James. Back in about 1847, a little guy named Jesse James is born into a family of a mother and a father and an older brother named Frank, who's like 4 years older. So now, Jesse James was born, and it's a farming community in Kearney, Missouri, and Jesse's born quietly, and although I guess they lived for a while in Tennessee someplace, but the story really happens in Kearney, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Jesse's born into a family, and a couple of years, a short time later, I'm a little hesitant to point out the years. I can't remember right now, but I think it was within a matter of a year or two. The father, Robert Sally James, married a woman by the name of Zerelda Cole, Dalton, Zerelda Dalton, and they later changed her name to Cole before she married James. So she's now Zerelda James. So anyway, they got married, and Jesse's father was a minister of apparently a good-sized church in Kearney, and plus he was well-known and well-respected in the community, and helped found a Christian college someplace nearby, was actually on the board of trustees, as I remember, and suddenly he decides to go, in the gold rush of 1848, decides to go to Missouri with some friends, or used to follow some friends or something, so he packs up and leaves. Now, that's very strange for a Christian minister to leave his wife and two relatively young children, like maybe like 4 and 2 or 6 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
He just packs up and leaves. And then a short time later, he allegedly dies. It was 1850, so I don't remember. Anyway, a few years later, he allegedly dies. And word gets back to Zerelda and their two young children that daddy died in some disease or something. Later on, Jesse and Frank went looking for his grave and couldn't find it. It was someplace in some town in the gold area of California where the gold was discovered in 1848. They couldn't find any tombstone or any evidence that he died, and no witnesses to his death. So Jesse and Frank, I believe, correctly concluded that their father, if he died, he didn't leave any trace of it, and so they believed then that Daddy didn't die, he went on and hid. Now, why would Daddy hide? Create a false death and continue living. And this is my theory, that I believe that Jesse and Frank were only half-brothers, that they had the same mother but had different fathers. And I suspect that what happened when Daddy, the real Daddy, James, Robert Sally James, found out that his wife, Zerelda, was having an affair with another man, and it produced a child, he said, I got to get out of here.
Mm.
Because that would ruin his reputation as a minister, probably his church and his connections to this university. So he said, this is theory, I can't really prove this, except some little evidence that we know that he went there, he fled unexpectedly without any thought and went to the gold mines and suddenly died thereafter, and they can't find any evidence of his death.
Mm.
Well, I think he decided to kill off the name and went living someplace with under an alias. And who knows what happened to him. I can't find anyone that ever even concludes that he lived past that time. But anyway, if I'm right, then Jesse and Frank are only half-brothers. And Daddy got upset with his wife committing adultery on him and left. And that was the end of the Robert Sally James. So now, a few years later, in 1861, when Jesse was like 14, the Civil War starts. And Frank goes right away. He's now 18, I think. He's 18. He decides to join the cause of the South and join the Quantrell Raiders. In fact, I just watched a movie about them the other night, and based on a little bit of fact and mostly fiction. But anyway, Quantrell had a group of Southern supporters running around. In the movie, at least, he dressed in a Confederate uniform, but he was not in the Army as such. He was a group of guerrilla fighters, and they were running around killing and just butchering whole cities. In fact, they showed in the movie how he attacked the city of Lawrence, Kansas, and killed, I think, all the men and boys or something. And maybe it might have even been worse than that, but I believe it was at least the men and the boys that were there.
Wow.
And most of the men were gone to war, so he's killing older men and younger boys.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a real butcher, and Frank James decides to fight with him, and then reportedly Jesse goes to fight, but he was too young, so Quantrell didn't take him, but a man by the name of Bloody Bill Anderson did. He was they call him a lieutenant, meaning I guess he had a squad or whatever it was, some of his men, but not all.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a member of Quantrell's heirs. But there's a reason why he left, Jesse James left. And he was at home with his stepfather, a man by the name of Dr. Something Samuel, Reuben Samuel, I think his name was, and a squad or a small group of northern soldiers came to the farm looking for Frank James. And according to the story, almost every writer that I've ever read on the story of Jesse James reports these little facts, that they showed up and they stretched the doctor's neck by hanging him and torturing him to tell them where Frank was, where Quantrell's raiders were. And Jesse came upon the scene, and they grabbed him and started torturing him, too. And there are stories that they burned his feet with fire to get him to talk, and they hung him as well. And that it actually left a scar around his neck and has burned his feet. And that we'll play that little bit of information a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Jesse got very upset with this, and they left, and he went and cut down his stepfather. But Dr. Samuel apparently had been hanging long enough to where he had lost some blood or oxygen to his brain, and he apparently was somewhat affected by that and couldn't practice anymore. So Jesse got very upset. Now, that plays a very important role in what's going to happen next, because a few years later, two men are killed by the name of Bigelow. I cannot tell whether they were brothers or fathers and sons or something, but they were both about the same age, a couple of years difference, and they both were dead on the same day. And there's a cemetery in Missouri where you can see their tombstones. They're knocked mm-hmm. over. Maybe they were supposed to be, but they're laying on the grass, and you can still somewhat read them. And both of these men were Masons. They're on their tombstone is the square and the compass, and the program In Search of or Unsolved Mysteries, I forgot which one, actually went with the camera and recorded them, because there's people saying there are no Bigelows in this part of the country. Well, anyway, there was a local man who claimed to be a descendant of Jesse James who took the cameras, the crew, mm-hmm. to the site in this cemetery and showed these two tombstones. And there's two Bigelow brothers killed. Now, that's significant, because I think Jesse killed them. Jesse found out who these men were, and they were both Missouri neighbors. And though Jesse's in favor of the South, and, of course, these men were in the North. So Jesse said, I'm going to take revenge on my father and myself, and sought these two brothers. I've forgotten their name. One was Salmon, and I've forgotten the other boy's other one's name. But they were about 2 years apart, so I presume they were brothers. That's just mm-hmm. a presumption. They might have been cousins, but they were only a couple of years apart. Anyway, they're now gone. So Jesse now decides to flee and join Quantrell's raiders. At least that's what they report.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesse takes a very strange turn around this very same time, because a man by the name of William Andrews Clark enters his life, I believe. This is very difficult to prove because there's very little information. But we know that there was a real man named William Andrews Clark. He was born a few years earlier than Jesse. And I read his biography, and Clark's biography says that his, I think, mother or grandmother was Mary Andrews. So that's where he gets the William Andrews Clark from. He was named in part by from his mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
So William Andrews Clark, during the Civil War, about 1862 or 3, decides to leave Pennsylvania and become a teacher. The report was that he did fight in the Civil War, but apparently left. Now, either he fled or he got a medical discharge. I don't know. I can't find out. No one that I know knows why. But anyway, he moved to Kansas, very close, maybe 40 to 60 miles away from Jesse. Now, let's presume that Jesse had a mother or grandmother also named Mary Andrews. So there's some connection between these two women, and I think that that William Andrews Clark realized that Jesse was a cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So he shows up, and I believe, and I cannot prove, but I believe they met, and I believe they got into a discussion and probably a debate, and Jesse, in his anger, killed William Andrews Clark. Mm-hmm. We'll pick it up there when we come back.
Yes, we will. Fantastic stuff, folks. Our guest tonight, Ralph Epperson, author of the book, Jesse James, United States Senator, and the website that you can go and sort of follow along with some of this information, SenatorJesseJames.com. Stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. Tail end of hour number two already, and we're having a blast with our good friend Ralph Epperson. His website, www.ralph-epperson.com, or specifically to the subject matter tonight, www.senatorjessejames.com. Ralph, welcome back, sir.
You're very kind, Frank. I'm here. Yes, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, so Clark now, around 1863, and I can't even get a better date on it, but Clark, according to the family biography, Clark decides to leaves teaching in Missouri and runs to Colorado and gets involved with the gold mine. And then he kind of somewhat disappears. Now, why did that happen? I don't know. Here's what I think happened. I think he and Jesse had a discussion, in fact, an argument, and, of course, Clark took the position of the North, and Jesse was a Southerner, and Jesse killed him. Now, to avoid prosecution, I think Jesse ran, and I do not believe he fought with Quantrell. He might have, but even if he did, he would certainly expect that when the sheriff came after him, alleging that he killed Clark, Quantrell is not going to let him go.
Mm.
So I don't think any sheriff would dare go to Quantrell and say, listen, I'm here to arrest Jesse James. So I think that was Jesse's way, if he didn't go, his way to claim that he did so that he wouldn't be traced.
I see.
And Jesse disappeared. And Clark died as well. And you could argue, well, you're building a case out of straw, and I have to admit that. It's very tenuous, except that there is evidence later on,
yes,
that Clark and Jesse were the same man.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got Clark becoming a miner, disappearing, in essence, for some time from his family and friends, and suddenly Jesse disappears as well. And I think one led to the death of the other.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Clark later goes on to become an extremely wealthy person. And I'll tell you some of the brief stories we know about him. But anyway, let's go back. We got to cover this before.
Okay.
Jesse James, because he was involved with, he later became a 33rd degree Mason. Jesse James and Quantrell and Bloody Bill Anderson were all members of not either or the Masons and or the Knights of the Golden Circle. And that's where Jesse started to figure out how this nation was being run and who was really involved with the fighting of the war, mm-hmm, and why we were fighting it.
So yeah, there's actually a quote in your book right towards the beginning. If you would like me to read that, I can. I have it right here in front of me. It says, Jesse James, 33rd degree Mason, 1948, quoted page 7, Jesse James was one of his names. Says, quote, "The history of the war between the states has never been written, and the history of the Old West hasn't even been told." So,
yeah,
you know, history meaning, of course, the truth, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now, the Knights of the Golden Circle, let's see if that's time to talk about that. Maybe it is. Let's just go with it. We're just doing this I have no formal outline. I'm doing it from memory.
Mm.
Well, let's just cover the next story. The war didn't go well. They didn't get the central bank. Lincoln outfoxed them, and so they had to kill Lincoln. They did. John Wilkes Booth was a member of the Knights of the Golden Circle, as was Jefferson Davis and Jesse James, so we know it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about John Wilkes Booth.
Well, we're coming up on a break here, and okay, there's the music, of course. Ralph, I was also curious, and you can answer this when we come back, about the name Knights of the Golden Circle, if that has some sort of significance, maybe with the symbology or the terminology or something like that. I mean, we know where Freemason comes from, but that would be interesting as well. Okay. Folks, please stay with us. We're back in about 90 seconds.